Hello and welcome to the CGF podcast. My name is Louise Chester. I work in the communications team at the Consumer Goods Forum, and this is the latest episode in the first series of our podcast where we delve behind the scenes of our work and we share our thoughts about the challenges facing the industry, the planet, and its people. The Consumer Goods Forum is a CEO-led organization that helps the world's retailers and consumer goods manufacturers to collaborate alongside other key stakeholders to secure consumer trust and drive positive change. Today, for the final episode of the year, I'm joined by Erica Sheward, the new director of the Global Food Safety Initiative, who joined our ranks just a few weeks ago. I'm really excited to introduce her to you, our listeners, and to find out more about her plans to take GFSI forwards. Hello, Erica. Thank you for joining me today on the CGF podcast.
Hello, Louise. No problem at all. It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Wonderful. So I just wanted to start by welcoming you again to the CGF. We're delighted to have you amongst us. I know it's been a very busy past few months, really, and you've obviously had to hit the ground running, but I think it's nice for us to take this moment to reflect upon your arrival, really.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong in terms of a whirlwind couple of months. I think this is week 7 or 8, you understand. But yeah, I mean, I from the minute that I realised this was going to be, you know, my next opportunity in life, I was so looking forward to so many things. And moving to Paris, of course, has got to be right up there with one of the things that, yeah, you know, that is just like a dream opportunity. But more than that, of course, being part of such a great community, that's the thing that's really struck me about the CGF. And the people that work here and the people that support us and work with us. Yeah. It feels like a real community. It feels like a real family. And the opportunity to be part of that is really exciting.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, it definitely does have that family feel. So my first question for you, Erica, is really a bit of an introduction. Maybe you could tell our listeners a bit about yourself, maybe your career journey so far and how you ended up with us at the CGF.
Oh, ended up. That's a daunting prospect. This might be where I end up.
But, no, that's hopefully a bad turn of phrase. you arrived on our doorstep.
Oh, I've arrived rather than ended up. Yeah. Okay. So, for people that know a little bit about me, they will probably realise. I mean, LinkedIn is probably the obvious thing where people might go, "My goodness, this person's been around a few places," and eclectic, I think, is the way that one would describe my professional life. So I started my professional life very much focused on the only thing in the world that I'm any good at, which is largely anything to do with food and drink, of course, but food predominantly. So it was always going to be something that would feature very heavily in my life, and I wasn't quite sure whether that would be at the front end in terms of sort of product development and creation of product, or as it turned out, whether it would be in terms of working with people and process and safety and technical stuff. And that's really where I really found my thing, I suppose. So I worked in the food industry pretty much all my professional life until 2008, when, like a lot of people, I think, when they have something of midlife arrives, and you think, what am I done with my life? I've spent 20 years, you know, product launching, Christmas, never, you know, a family time, always a work time, and you reflect on that. And I had an opportunity to go in a different direction. So I left the food industry rather abruptly in 2008 with a view to go and do something else. And I think this is where my desire to do something for the greater good, which is what I feel a lot of the work we do at GFSI is about. It's about that greater good thing. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I went to put something back. So I had a rather unique opportunity to go and work in academia, teaching. And I had no real experience of teaching and education, but I went on a fantastic journey through the two academic experiences I had at two different universities, where I learned lots of things about creating educational programs and developing content around food safety, obviously, because that's the only thing really that I know anything about, and working out how to create a journey for someone that is really compelling and draws people in, rather than didactically just feeds them information that they have to suck up and try and retain. So the whole creativity around creating educational programs that deliver on that agenda was really exciting. And I absolutely loved teaching. I loved it. I loved interaction with students. It was master's programs that I taught, so always people that had chosen to learn more and were really committed to learning more, and I absolutely loved it. So that was where my journey took me. And then whilst I was in academia, I was seconded to a discrete department within the government on the back of my sort of food safety technical expertise, but with a broader agenda, which is about regulation and the world of regulation, and thinking about the experience that business has at the front line, so the delivery of regulation, so less about the policy environment and more about the rule setting, and how that feeds into the implementation and enforcement and interactions that business have with regulators. And that was broader than food, although food was my initial recruited expertise. And again, went on a tremendous journey. I'm not a likely civil servant, but I learned a lot about politics and political environments and diplomacy and what it means to be a government official. And again, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then one could say, after the sort of decision that the country took to move in a different direction, then I thought, well, I maybe that's a sign that I need to move on to. And I went back to my roots to work at Leatherhead Food Research, which, as I'm sure many of our listeners will know, is an internationally renowned food science and technology research agency that has delivered some groundbreaking research outcomes in its time. And I was very proud to lead the business development function within Leatherhead, which is an international science group company. And had a GFSI opportunity not come along, of course, that is where I would still be. So it was only GFSI that could possibly have lured me away from what was, you know, the second greatest job in food safety in the world, which is working at Leatherhead.
Wonderful. It's interesting, isn't it, when we're actually sort of on the career journey, sometimes we don't see where we, for want of a better phrase, are going to end up. But then when you look back, it all makes sense. And that's really interesting to listen to your journey. So speaking of GFSI then, this latest step, what are you most looking forward to getting stuck into in this role you've taken on?
Well, I think it's a bit of a gift that the organisation is as mature as it is. I mean, I step into the job at a time when we are looking forward to celebrating 20 years of achievements and success. And that, you know, is not something that should be underestimated. That's, you know, not easy to bring people together from all sorts of different places around the world to have a conversation about something that is absolutely vital to the survival of the people on the planet and to the protection of the environments in which we live. You know, it doesn't come much better than that. And the idea that the GFSI brand stands for that, has curated that, has created that as an opportunity to deliver on an outcome, which is safe food for consumers everywhere, is a really astounding thing that has happened. And I guess the excitement for me is arriving at a time of celebration, but also arriving at a time when we need to reflect and evaluate and look forward and do that with with pragmatism and with insight and foresight, so that we can continue to deliver on our promise and we can continue to create opportunities for everyone around the world to access safe food. It doesn't really get much better than that.
It really doesn't. So as you mentioned before, Erica, I want to hear a little bit more about this. You said that you worked as a British government official for several years. So how has that experience shaped your perspective on how GFSI could better collaborate with governments? Because I know that's an element of your work.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we've done pretty well, to be honest, in terms of you know, kicking some doors down and getting to a place where we provide, or we certainly aim to provide, a safe space for regulators to talk to businesses. And one of the things that I learned in my experience at working in regulatory settings within the British government is that the British government really does lead the way in terms of this innovative approach to regulator and business interaction, you know, all sorts of better regulation initiatives that it's developed and gone out and shared around the world, because regulators can't regulate effectively unless they understand the businesses that they are regulating. So the idea that regulators would be an island sitting in, you know, in their in their offices, not connecting with business, is a bit of an outdated concept in terms of better regulation principles. You know, this isn't just my view. This is, you know, the view of lots of very clever, smart people that work in, you know, organisations that are working in regulatory reform and policy. You know, IFC, OECD. You know, these are organisations that really do understand the benefit of regulators and businesses coming together to have a conversation that doesn't need to lead to regulatory capture, that provides an environment in which regulators can fully appreciate what it is that businesses are doing, and businesses can fully appreciate what they need to do to satisfy regulatory compliance to meet a mutual outcome, of which essentially is consumers protected by safe food, environments protected, by creating food in a way that isn't going to necessarily damage, you know, the planet, and for businesses within those environments to still prosper and grow. And that is what that regulator and business coming together should be all about, a mutual outcome of prosperity and protection.
Okay, super. So we're about to move into a new year and indeed a new decade, which is rather scary. How do you plan to take GFSI forwards into this new chapter?
Whew, well, that's a tough question. It's an interesting one. And I've been reflecting on this quite a lot. And I think the value of GFSI is that there are so many people within our community who are so smart and are so clever and know lots of super smart, super clever things. And I think it isn't my job to be smart or clever. It's my job to help bring all of those people together and to connect them and facilitate a situation where they can share their brilliance and their expertise and lead people to a place which is the right answers to the difficult questions. And somebody very clever once told me that the definition of an expert is not someone who knows everything about anything. It's a person who can lead people to a place where they can find the answer. And I feel very strongly that that is the way that I would like, to be. And that is the way that I would like people to see me, as the person that doesn't know the answer, but brings people together and leads them to, you know, to that answer. So that's what I'm hoping for. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm kind of, you know, setting my stall out, and that's how I'd like to be held accountable.
I absolutely love that. I've never heard that definition of an expert before, but it's very humble and also makes a lot of logical sense. Lovely. So my next question, it's normally the last one of the podcast, but I have an extra special last one for you. So this one is, what I would like to know, what keeps you inspired and motivated to sort of keep getting up in the morning, keep walking to work when we have strikes on here in France? What drives you, Erica?
Well, that's again a really excellent question. So I am a pretty driven person. I'm somebody that loves work. I've always loved to work. I get most of my fulfillment from working pretty hard. But I think the honest answer is that this job is not hard work, in the sense that it's the biggest privilege I can possibly think of. It's it's such a gift. It's so exciting. It's so many things that you know you would always want to skip out of bed to do. I think the other thing as well is, you know, there are so many people that don't get the opportunities in life that they deserve. So not to be excited, not to be energized, not to be, you know, thrilled and delighted and to throw 100% at this would be, you know, would be a bit of an insult, not just to the people in our community that are, you know, wanting and expect me to do a great job, but certainly for those people who don't manage to achieve things in life that perhaps they set out to. So I'm just thanking my lucky stars and embracing the opportunity.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, it's a good way to live sort of grounded in gratitude for the opportunities we do have. So the final question, as promised, this is another difficult one for you. maybe not. Let's see. So we're about to go into Christmas over here. We're both British, so we know that especially over there, it is this sort of huge marathon of food consumption, and the holiday season around the world usually does sort of lend itself to that. So although at GFSI you don't work directly with consumers, everything that you do really is for consumers. So if you had a message for them at this time of year, those who are going to be enjoying food around the table with family and friends, what would that message be?
I think there is an expectation amongst consumers, certainly in developed, you know, economies, that the food and drink that they buy is what it says it is, and the consumption of it will, in many cases, not even the overconsumption of it will not, you know, lend them any particular harm. And I think it's quite right for people to have that expectation. I would want people to go and enjoy the food and drink they consume over Christmas without any expectation that it would do anything other than fulfill them and give them pleasure. The idea that people would need to start worrying about whether things were what they said they were, or that they weren't safe to consume, I think would be a real problem. So my my message to consumers is, you know, eat, drink, be merry, and have confidence that there is a whole community of people amongst GFSI and beyond, the whole group of our stakeholders, the regulators, the certification bodies, the scheme owners, us, our business members, who are working flat out to make sure that food continues to be safe and wholesome and good to eat.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It is fantastic to know that we can sort of take that for granted these days. Thank you, Erica. That brings us to the end of the podcast. It was very, very interesting. And I wish you a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Louise. And to all of the people out there that are listening, thank you for listening. And I very, very much look forward to meeting you all at some point in my journey at GFSI. So thank you very much.
If you would like to find out more about the Global Food Safety Initiative, you can visit our website at www.theconsumergoodsforum.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please do subscribe to the podcast for more episodes coming very soon. From everybody at the Consumer Goods Forum, we wish you happy holidays, however you choose to spend them, and a very successful 2020. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.